Welcome to another life-impacting message from City Light Church. You can find more great content like this online at citylight.church.
So we're up to Romans 8, 5 to 8. We're building upon what's come before. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is where we're going today. Let's pray and we will get stuck into it. Father God, I want to thank you for Paul who wrote these words, inspired by your Spirit, for his original readers, the people in Rome, but also for us. And so help us, please, Lord, to have open hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit and to your Scriptures as we wade through them today. We want to be shaped by them, motivated by them, inspired by them, transformed by Holy Spirit in the hearing of them. And so would you help us to this end for your glory? In Jesus' holy name we ask, amen. So like I said, Paul is building, he's developing a logical progression for your understanding and your confidence in who you are in Jesus. So last week we looked at there is no condemnation. That is a phenomenal foundation. What a great place to start. No condemnation. Through Christ, by faith. It's because of what Jesus has done, not because we're really good. And by faith, not because of anything we might accomplish. It's by trusting in his finished work. What we could not do, what the law could not do because of our sinful flesh, God himself did for those in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, because the Spirit of Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. So that means for us, there's no more sin, no more weight of sin, I should say. No more weight of guilt. No more carrying our own shame. No more hiding from God. No more hiding from each other. I mean, we don't have to. Sometimes we choose to, but we don't have to because there's no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. No more looking down on other sinners. No more despair at your own sinfulness. There is great and complete freedom in Jesus. How? We saw this last week. Because what the law couldn't do, because it was weakened by flesh, what we could not do, we could not fulfill the law, God himself did. So he brings up the flesh. And the flesh will feature heavily in our passage today. What does that mean? What is the flesh? We'll get into this. In fact, briefly, this is what Paul calls ourselves. So if you consider yourself without the saving power of the Spirit, without Jesus' atoning work done on your behalf, that is what Paul is referring to as the flesh. It is us, our base selves, without any impetus from God. Our flesh couldn't do it. Without God, we were unable to please God. Without God, we were unable to fulfill his law. Without God, we were unable to do, Romans tells us earlier, Paul tells us earlier in Romans, anything that would please God. This is who we are in our flesh. Unable to do anything to please God. So, Jesus came and did it on our behalf. And now, verse 4, having been set free by the Spirit, we saw in verse 2, we are now free to live in the power of the Spirit, verse 4. Power to love one another, power to bear one another's burdens, power to choose what is pleasing to God rather than choosing or being a slave to what leads to destruction. He says, now that you're free in Jesus, now that you are living in the power of the Spirit, you do not have to, like you did before in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, you had to choose what was displeasing to God. You could not please him. But now that you're in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, you are free to choose what is pleasing to God. Then we get to verse 5 today. And his first word is for. Again, he's building his argument. because of what we just talked about. He's explaining something in light of what we learnt last week. For those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the things of the flesh. Those who live in accordance with their flesh, in accord with their flesh, with yourself, abstract from the saving power of the Spirit. When you're living just with yourself, with no mind for Jesus, without his initiatory saving work, we live according to the flesh and our minds are set on the things of the flesh. So we live in accordance with the flesh, it results in our mind thinking about fleshly things, thinking about things that aren't to do with God, things that don't bring God glory, things that don't consider him in our day-to-day, things that don't lead to life, things that ultimately will only lead to, at their very end, fear or greed or suspicion or apathy or license or legalism. It will lead to one of these things when you lead in the flesh or when you live in the flesh. It says if you're living in accordance with your flesh, then it will lead to a mindset of things about the flesh, which will ultimately lead to these destructive things. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. So he's not saying your mindset starts first and then comes your life. He's saying when you're living in accordance with the Spirit, what the Spirit of God has done in you, when this is what you are, what your life is congruent with, then your mind and your affections and your will become set on the things of the Spirit. When your life is in accordance with the Spirit, your mind will be on those spiritual things, things of God, the things for God's glory, considering God in your life, considering God in your actions, considering life, God in your vocation, considering God in your relationships, considering God in your words, considering God in your spending, considering God in your attitudes. Paul contrasts living by the power of the Spirit with living by your own power. This is really what he's saying. Living in accordance with the flesh is trying to do things in your own self, in your own right, by what seems good to you, disregarding the things of God. He contrasts that with living in accordance with the Spirit, which is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying living in the power of the Holy Spirit is life and freedom. Living in the power of the flesh is no power at all. It's actually slavery to your flesh. And he builds on this. Verse 6, he says, now the mindset of the flesh is death. Now, I know this is very heavy. And I know you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, last week was so encouraging, so uplifting, no condemnation. This week is flesh and death. Because it's contrasting. Paul's trying to help you understand because there's more really, really, really good things to come. But he wants you to understand what you've been saved from so that you will never go back to it. The mindset of the flesh is death. It's not just like death. It doesn't just lead to death. The mindset of the flesh is death. If you remember from last week, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. So we could not do what the law required. And when we attempt to do what the law requires in our own power, it just leads to sin and ultimately to death. And so what Paul says is the mindset of the flesh is death. We saw this in chapter 7. We looked at this briefly last week when Paul talked about, man, my heart just wants to sin all the time. Martin Luther, again, he once said, the human heart is an idol factory. We just make idols. And once we think we've gotten rid of one idol or destroyed or overcome one idol, boom, the heart just makes another one when we're living in the power of the flesh, which again is no power at all. And Paul says, man, my flesh, my heart, again, was this idol factory. And then when the law came along, my sinful flesh saw what was pleasing and displeasing to God and was pleased to displease God. When I heard, do not covet, my flesh went, awesome. Now I know how to displease God by coveting. And so what he's saying is it is death, the flesh. The mindset, it is the mindset dead to the things of the Spirit. It's saying if you're operating in the power of the flesh, it is death. Dead to the things of the Spirit. dead to the spiritual reality of life in Jesus. It's the mindset of hopelessness because it doesn't see hope. It's the mindset of shame because it doesn't see the honor in Jesus. It's the mindset of hiding because it has no peace. And it's the mindset of guilt because it has no freedom. The mindset of the flesh is death and leads to death. This doesn't mean that those who live according to the flesh only do the worst possible thing that they could possibly do all of the time. But what it means is, and Paul tells us this over and over and over again in Romans, is that the heart congruent with the flesh or living in accordance to the flesh, it is impossible for that heart, for that person to please God. It is impossible on their very best day, doing their very best thing. And even from a human perspective, it might look identical to someone walking in accordance with the Spirit. And that thing is pleasing God, that thing that person is doing. But because it's being done by somebody in the power of the flesh, it is completely impossible. They're unable to please God. In fact, this is where Paul leaves us at the end of the passage. It says, those operating in the power of the Spirit, they are unable to please God. Unable. Not because they don't want to, although they don't want to, but because our very, very best act ever of all time, abstract of the saving work of Jesus, abstract of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't please God. The mindset of the flesh, verse 7, is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It means that, again, it's not a matter of us trying harder. It's not a matter of us living better. It's not a matter of us like leveling up our personal mastery or sinning less. We know that this mindset, the unregenerate mindset, always leads to death because it is death. Not only are we unable, but our flesh is hostile to God. Man, Paul is really trying to drive this home. He's not just saying, okay, it's like we're a blank slate and we just happen to choose, you know, by our best understanding, just happens to not please God. He's saying, no, no. Not only are we unable to please God, our flesh is hostile to God. We are dead to the things of the Spirit if we don't have the Spirit in us. This is what the flesh without the Spirit of life is and does in us. It produces hostility towards God and the things of God. And Paul gives us this because or for. It does not submit to God's law. So he's not saying that we don't submit to God's law, therefore we're not good enough for God and therefore we sin. He's saying because we are sinners, because we are operating out of the flesh, that is why we are then unable, that is why we are hostile towards God, and that is why we are unable to fulfill his law. And non-submission to God's law is the evidence of our hostility towards God. We're not hostile towards God because we're unable to fulfill the law. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about this, Paul again, but to the Corinthians. It says, the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand since it is evaluated or discerned spiritually. So what he's saying is we are completely, when we don't have the Spirit, we cannot please God because we can't discern what is pleasing to God because it is only discerned spiritually, and if we don't have the Spirit, we can't do it. How are you traveling along? I know this is a very, very heavy passage. Doing okay? Too warm in here? A little bit warm? All right. This totally does away with any time you've ever heard or even said yourself, oh, this person, they're so lovely. They're more Christian than most Christians I know. And you think about the Christians that you know and sometimes how like foolishly Christians behave, pursuing sin or doing stupid things or just not living in accordance with the Spirit who lives in them. And you go, oh man, those Christians, if it wasn't for those nasty Christians, the church would be a lovely place. Of course not. I'm not talking about City Light, obviously. This is like obviously other places that we're talking about. But Paul here, he does away with any of this kind of thinking. The only thing that makes you a Christian is not, we've got to get away from this, like, we've somehow absorbed a karmic view of the gospel where we look at people who are good and we go, of course they're good. Of course God loves them. Look how good they are. Look how nice they are. They're a good neighbor. They always mow their front lawns. They pay their taxes. They clean up after their pets. They have us over for a barbecue. What a lovely, lovely person. And then you look at your other neighbor who's a Christian, or maybe even a pastor, and you're like, oh my goodness, what's with this family? Who are these people? Oh, they're Christians. You've got to be kidding me. This person's more Christian than those people. That's karma, actually. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the great leveler. What Paul tells us earlier in Romans, again, the same letter, says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody seeks after God, not even one single person. There's only one thing that makes you a Christian. There's only one thing that makes you right with God. What the law could not do since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He had to do it because we couldn't do it. And so, by all means, please enjoy your good neighbors. Enjoy your friends. But remember that if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're still hostile towards God. They cannot please him because they don't have the Holy Spirit, and the things of God are only discerned spiritually. We are only able to please God when we are freed from our obligation to the law and married to another, being Jesus. You might say, he or she is good bloke, good woman, lovely, but man, they need Jesus. Please, like Paul also writes to the Corinthians, we don't view people from a fleshly perspective. He says, we once viewed Christ from a fleshly perspective. We didn't understand who he was because it's only spiritually discerned. We need to view each other from a spiritual perspective, through God's eyes, his lenses, to see both how much he loves them and how far they are from him, but also how close he is to them. We have no hope outside the finished work of Jesus, completely unable because death is at work in our flesh. So we have our mind set on the things of the flesh. And then Paul contrasts this mindset with another mindset. He says, okay, when you're living in accordance with the flesh, your mindset is death and only set on the things of the flesh. But when you're living in accordance with the Spirit and your mind is set on the Spirit, he says, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. It leads to life and peace, but the mindset of the Spirit is life. The mindset of the Spirit is peace. It's life because of being set free from the law of sin and death. That's why the mindset of the Spirit is life, because you're set free from the law of sin and death. It's life because we have newness of life in the life of Jesus. It's the mindset is life because we are hidden in Christ. This mindset is life because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's life because, like John 3:16 says, all the believing ones shall not die but have everlasting life. It's the mindset of life. It's life because Jesus came to give life and life to the full. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. It's peace because Jesus has purchased peace for you. This is how Paul writes about this in Ephesians. He says, at that time, you were without Christ. When you were living in the flesh, you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, for he is our peace. How do we have peace? Because he is our peace. Who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh. He made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. Again, peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. So in the flesh, we are hostile towards God. But in Christ, he's put that hostility to death. There's no more hostility. There's no more separation. There's no more condemnation. Verse 17, he came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. It's amazing. We have this great peace because of what Jesus himself has accomplished in his flesh on that cross. He did away with our sin. He did away with our hostility. He did away with our obligation to fulfill the law. And instead, he gives us his peace. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Peace because you're no longer under the law. Peace because there's no more striving for God's love. You can be peaceful because you don't have to strive for God's love. You have his love. Peace because you've been reconciled to God. Peace because you're free from your guilt. You don't have to worry about it. You're free from your guilt. You can have peace. Peace because you aren't under a cloud of shame. Peace because every stain has been removed. Peace because nothing can separate you from his love. Peace because you are secure in his righteous right hand. Peace because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Peace because that same Spirit is the guarantee both that you belong to God and that he's coming back for you. What peace? And peace because though you die, you will live. It's a lot of peace. This is the mindset of the Spirit. It's life and peace. It leads to life and peace, but it is life and peace because in all of your interactions, all of your attitudes, your vocation, your relationships, all these things, you can have life and peace in those situations. Not by trying to strive for life and peace, but by resting, by trusting, by having faith in the finished work of Jesus applied to you. It's not even like an inverse scale. If you try, or even your mindset, you have any more of this like karmic or karma-esque thinking around how God views you or around your salvation, any effort of yours towards trying to buy or earn God's love negates all of his love. Will negate all of your peace. Will negate that the life that you can walk in. Again, we don't do our best and then God makes up the rest. What the flesh could not do, again, it is a flat line with all of us on the bottom, unable to move. What the flesh could not do, God himself did and then applies to us who are in Christ by faith. And so what we want to do is put away and try to kill and destroy anything other than God that we put our hope in which we put our hope. It's got to go away. Put all of our hope in Jesus, which then frees us to live with a mindset of life and peace. It means you go to your relationships not to try to get love, but now you can walk in life and peace and give love. It means you go to your vocation not trying to derive meaning, but you already have life and life to the full. You already have meaning. So now you can bring your best self and work to your work without trying to derive meaning from your work because you have life and peace. It's making sense. It's not just new life in Jesus, although it is new life in Jesus. It's a new way of life in Jesus. It's a new trajectory. We're set on a different path. We have a new hope. We have a new affection. God is giving us new desires. We have the ability to please God. I find this one of the most radical things in all of Scripture, that we can please God. Knowing my flesh, knowing my sinfulness. I think this, for me, this is the harder thing to receive than to try to get rid of the karmic thing. For me, I think, oh yeah, karma, I totally get that. That is foolishness to try to please God, because we cannot please God, except now we're filled with the Spirit. Now we're in newness of life. Now we're hidden in Christ. We can please God? That seems outrageous to me. And that the same, from an outward perspective, viewing from the flesh, even the same activity done by someone with the Spirit, someone without the Spirit, one can please God and one does not please God because it's unable to please God. It seems really bizarre to me that anything that I could do could please God, and yet he chooses to identify with me as my Father and you as your Father, the Father who loves you, who has overcome the thing that you could not do, he did. We've left the way of death behind us. In fact, we've died to that way. We're dead to death. We're alive to life. And in life, we can please him. Romans 6, just a couple of chapters earlier. It says this, should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? This absolutely not. I don't know if you've studied this before, but that's a weakish translation. It should be more like a hell no. No, we don't. Go on sinning. We are dead to death. We're dead to the flesh. We're alive in Jesus. He goes on, verse 5. For if we have... Oh, wait. Yeah, absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, these are just majestic words. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time, but the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are now. We were sinners, but now we are dead to sin. And although we've seen in chapter 7, we still have this wrestle in the flesh. We are justified and being sanctified. Justified meaning we are now holy and completely right with God through Jesus. We are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That work is finished. That work is done. There's now no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And yet, the presence of sin is still around. We still wrestle in the flesh as the Spirit does his work of conforming us to the likeness of Jesus. And then when we go to be with him, even the very presence of sin will be gone. So the penalty of sin has been taken by Jesus. The power of sin has been taken by the Holy Spirit. We can please God. We can choose life. We can choose to do the thing that pleases God. And then when we go to be with him or he returns, even the presence of sin will be gone. It's a wonderful thing. We have life in Jesus. It's important to know sin is not just the things that we do. Sin is not, it's not like we're not sinners because we sin. Like, oh no, I sinned. Now I'm a sinner. There's this, in some versions of Christianity, shall we say, there's this idea that you can be forgive. Like if you've repented of your sins, you repent of every sin that you have done in the past. But if you then go and sin again, you are now a sinner again and you need more like absolution, or you need more repentance, more forgiveness. And if you do some sins before you get a chance to repent and you die in the meantime, then there's some sort of like you have to make up for those sins somehow. That's not true. That's not what the Bible tells us. It's not how God views us. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because of the flesh. We sin because we're sinners. We're born into sin. We're born into the flesh, which is why Jesus made such a big deal out of being born again into the Spirit, being born again in him. When you engage your heart, your mind, your affection on something that doesn't please God, you are not being who you are. You're not walking in accordance with the Spirit, congruent with who you are in Jesus. You aren't being who you are in the newness of life in Christ, but you're hearkening back to the old flesh. Now, there's still no more condemnation. Paul says, should we go on sinning so the grace may abound? No, hell no, we don't do that anymore. It's not who you are. We don't want to walk in death. We want to walk in life and in peace. There's grace for that, no condemnation, but you are free from having to live life like that. It's the most wonderful news. You can choose to do what is pleasing to God because the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So consider yourselves dead to death. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Jesus. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, so stop walking in the flesh and instead walk in the Spirit of life and peace. Let's pray together. Father God, all of these weeks, these are difficult weeks. I'm sure all of us here feel this tension of being in your spirit, but also being in the flesh, where we still do the things we don't want to do and don't do the things we do want to do. And yet, you have given us the power to walk in freedom. You've given us the power because of your indwelling Holy Spirit to walk in that newness of life and have this mindset which is life, which is peace. And so would you help us to walk in this newness of life? Help us to encourage one another to walk in this way. But we don't want to walk in our old ways. We don't want to look back to our fleshly ways. Father, so would you help us? Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for doing in him what we could not do, setting us free from having to try to strive to love you or to earn your love, helping us to see and to discern spiritually those spiritual truths of your goodness and your beauty and your majesty and your love and mercy towards us. Help us to be carriers of this message of goodness and love and peace and life, not just with our words, but certainly with our words, but also with our lives, that we would walk in accord with the Spirit. With the Spirit. It's for your sake and for your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from City Light Church. We hope you found it helpful and we'd love for you to share this message with others. For more great content, more information about City Light Church, or to donate to the work of City Light Church, visit us online at www.citylight.church.